Word of God, Isaiah 28, read verses 23 through 29. This is the word of God from the prophet Isaiah. Give ear and hear my voice. Give attention and hear my speech. Does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Does he continually open and harrow his ground? When he has leveled its surface, does he not scatter dill, sow cumin, and put in wheat in rows, and barley in its proper place, and emmer as the border? For he is rightly instructed, his God teaches him. Dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel ruled over cumin. But dill is beaten out with a stick, and cumin with a rod. Does one crush grain for bread? No, he does not thresh it forever. When he drives his cartwheel over it with his horses, he does not crush it. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel, and excellent in wisdom. Let us pray that the Lord would bless his word to our lives. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word which is given to us. We thank you for the promises that it gives to us, the precepts that it teaches. We pray that we might have attentive ears and hearts to hear your word, to apply it to our lives. We thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to dwell among us, to bring the word to our minds, to help us to understand it. Be with us, we pray. In the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. In this passage, the prophet Isaiah brings some farming advice for the people of God. Only a few weeks ago, up where we are, there's a lot of agriculture, and it's about that time, at least up where we are anyway, that they're threshing the grain. They've got their big combines out and separating the wheat from the chaff. And pretty soon they'll probably start plowing for the winter wheat. And even down here, you may have seen some of it if you drive outside of the city a bit. Or perhaps you have a garden at your own place. And you know it's about time to harvest all your tomatoes and your other things that you're growing and perhaps till up the soil for next year. Well, here the prophet Isaiah takes these and he's got a message for us. He says, give ear and hear my voice, give attention and hear my speech. In other words, listen up, because I've got some farming advice for you. Verse 24, does he who plows for sowing plow continuously? Does he continually open and harrow his ground? You probably know what it is to plow. Maybe you've seen someone plowing. You have your plow with a sort of a wedge shape, and you know, a tractor, generally now these days, will drive it through the ground, digging down deep into the soil. Of course, in those days, they didn't have tractors. They'd probably have perhaps an ox or a donkey bringing the plow behind, digging deep furrows. And then, when they're done plowing, they come along with a harrow. What's a harrow? Well, a harrow is a device, there's different kinds these days, that breaks up the clumps of soil that the plow has dug up. In those days, it probably would have been a bunch of branches tied together and hauled by an animal. So the plow comes along, digs a furrow, goes down deep into the soil, and brings up clumps of dirt, and the harrow comes along and breaks them into pieces. And the farmer needs to do this because you need to have good soil contact if you want to have a good crop. Because you're sowing wheat or other types of grain. If you sow them on hard ground, as you know from the parable of the sower, the birds will come along and eat them away. You need to have them go into freshly plowed and harrowed soil so that they can have good contact with the soil so that they'll be fruitful. And Isaiah is saying here, does he who plow for sowing plow continually? Or perhaps a better translation would be perpetually. If you go out and you see somebody plowing his field and you say, what are you doing today? And he says, well, I'm plowing my field. And you say, what are you going to do tomorrow? He's not going to say, well, I'm going to plow my field again. And then the day after that, I'll plow it again. I'll just keep plowing my field. No, when he who plows for sowing, it's a rhetorical question here, he doesn't plow continually. He plows his field when he needs to. And when it's done, he's done plowing. Same with harrowing. He's plowed his field. He comes along and he harrows it. And then he's done. There's the right season to plow and to harrow a field. There's the right time. And there's a purpose to it. In verse 25 here, when he has leveled its surface, you know, he's plowed and he's harrowed and made the soil workable and level. When he has leveled its surface, does he not scatter dill, sow cumin, and put in wheat and rows and barley in its proper place, and emmer as the border? The farmer knows where to put all the seed, the right time, and he knows how to do it. He knows he's going to put this here and that there, and this is the border. There's a purpose to plowing, and there's a time. And then comes the time for sowing seed. In verse 26, he is rightly instructed. His God teaches him. I don't think this is meaning to say that farmers have some kind of a divine revelation, you know, that they know exactly when to do what and what to put it. It simply means that farmers, they look at the world that God has created and they use their wisdom to do things that will produce a crop. They do it for a purpose. It's not just random. They're just not out there, they're just plowing up their field every single day and not planting anything. They plow for a purpose. Now, I've said that this is farming advice, but it's not advice for the farmer. This is advice for the soil that is being plowed. This is advice for the field that's being tilled and planted. And as Paul says in Corinthians, you are God's field. I'd say he, God, is the heavenly farmer. And just as the good farmer knows when to plow and when to harrow and when to plant and what to plant where, so it is with God in our lives. Sometimes God plows our lives, but he does so for a time, at the right time, and for a purpose. Let's think about the context of this passage. Immediately before what we just read, Isaiah has been bringing the warning of judgment to the people of God for their own disobedience. He's been telling them, in essence, God is going to come and plow you, land of Israel. You're going to be overrun by the Babylonians. Just as we read in our responsive reading from Psalm 129, they plowed my back like farmers plowing furrows. They made their gouges deep and wide, one version of the psalm puts it. Plowing is a metaphor for God's discipline that comes upon his people. And Isaiah is telling the people of God, you're going to be plowed. But God knows what he's doing. He's doing it for a purpose. It comes in the right season, for the right amount of time, and for a purpose, which is to bear fruit. As it was with the people of God of old, so it is with our lives as well. God, the heavenly farmer, will bring his plow into our lives, lest our lives become hard-hearted and unfruitful. He brings the plow at the right season, but always for a purpose. Not perpetually, for a time, and for a purpose. You might say, God's just plowed my life up. And then when I went to pick up all the broken pieces that were left, then he came along with his harrow and smashed them all. That's God's purpose sometimes in our lives. But it's to bear fruit. It's for a time and at the right time and for a purpose. Just as the good farmer knows what to plant, when, and where, so it is with God in our lives. He knows what he's doing, even though from the field's perspective, we look at it and think, everything's a mess, everything's been ruined, but God knows what he's doing. Isaiah changes the metaphor slightly in verse 27. Dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over cumin, but dill is beaten out with a stick and cumin with a rod. You know, when you grow a grain or any other type of seed, you have to separate the good seed from the chaff or the husk that comes around that seed. Like with wheat, if you grow wheat, you can't just throw it in your wheat grinder. You have to get the chaff off. You can rub it or you can thresh it. Of course, rubbing it might be a kind of a way of threshing it. And in those days, wheat would be threshed with a threshing sledge. a big flat-bottomed sledge pulled by horses or whatever that would be run over the wheat. And as the force came and rubbed the kernels, it would separate the chaff out from the grain. And the same way here, he says, he does not thresh it forever. Just as God doesn't plow perpetually, he doesn't perpetually come and bring his discipline in our lives, so with threshing. Nevertheless, God does, in a sense, thresh our lives to separate out those things which are not useful. He brings his discipline in our lives that we might share in his holiness, to remove the chaff from our lives. Now, what is he talking about here in verse 27? Dill is not threshed with threshing sledge. Well, with wheat, or any kind of hard grain, you have a threshing sledge, a big, heavy sledge that runs over the grain and separates the chaff. But some other types of seeds, they can't handle the weight. If you run a threshing sledge over dill, it'll just destroy the dill. It won't be any good anymore. He says, no. Dill is beaten out with a stick, and cumin with a rod. These more frail kinds of seeds take special care. You come along and you beat them with a stick to separate the chaff out, and then you remove the good seed from the chaff. And Isaiah is saying here as well, with God, not only does he bring in his plowing at the right time and for a purpose, but he knows what we can handle. He knows what we need. He uses the right tool for the job to help produce fruit in our lives, as painful as it seems at the time. And yet, looking back, it is, as the writer of Hebrews says, it is not painful, but pleasant. So God, as the heavenly farmer, he brings discipline into our lives. He plows, he harrows for the purpose of producing fruit. He knows what we need. He brings the right tool for the job. Consider the words of Jesus. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. Consider Jesus himself, the one who his back was almost literally plowed in his suffering and death. The one who died just as that grain of wheat falls to the ground. And yet God worked the most horrific act of violence against the Lord himself, the crucifixion, for the purpose of giving us life. His suffering and death produces the fruit of the people of God, our redemption, and bearing fruit in our lives. As Jesus said, no servant is greater than his master. We can't expect that although Christ died, suffered, in order to produce fruit, that we go on and live peaceful, comfortable lives all the time. All of us have suffered and will suffer. And yet, in God's providence, this is for our good. Again, the writer of Hebrews, all of us have had fathers who disciplined us for our good. At the time, it was painful. But God disciplines us for our good, that we might share in his holiness. In other words, that we might bear much fruit. And so this passage helps us, as we consider suffering, not to think that ought not to happen to a Christian, but to realize God knows what he's doing. Trust the heavenly farmer who brings his plowing, his harrowing, his threshing into your life, that you might bear much fruit. Let us pray that the Lord would help us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, for your grace. But although we experience many trials and difficulties in this world, we know that they are for our good, that in your providence you don't give us anything that we cannot handle. We pray that you would help us to trust you, to know that we are in safe hands as we persevere, even through trials. Be with us, we pray, for the sake of Christ. Help us to see the good that you are bringing out, even of suffering, that we might not fall away, but hold fast to you. Be with us, we pray, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would sing together, God, my King, thy might confessing, number 4.